It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And we welcome you to the Virtual Bible Study for Thursday, March 13th, 2014. Thank you for coming to the program tonight and joining us, and we'll look forward to hearing from you on the program tonight at 877-381-4567. Questions at collegeview.com. And if you're watching our video feed tonight, to the bottom of your video window, you can sign in and chat with other listeners tonight. And if you are watching our video feed, you can tell my father, Greg Gwynn, is not here, but in his spot, a couple of gentlemen have come to help me with the discussion. Monty Overton is here. Monty, welcome back to the Virtual Bible Study.
Thank you, Jacob. It's good to be here.
Most of the time, you're on the other side of the controls tonight. Jeff is behind the controls tonight. Jeff, thank you for coming. And Anthony's here as well. Anthony, you usually are behind the controls.
Right, yeah. It's been a little while since I've been behind the desk here, so I appreciate the invitation.
So did we get upgraded, or are we being punished?
Well, that's still up for discussion. We can answer that at the end of the program. But don't complain about it.
I won't.
Well, you're going to talk tonight about the sin of murmuring. And it is, I think, perhaps an overlooked sin, Bonnie.
I think it is, because you hear a lot of people griping and complaining quite often, but they do it sort of in a roundabout way under their breath. They don't want to be real open with their complaints, but they still are murmuring about things for various and assorted reasons, and we need to avoid that at all costs.
I think so, and Anthony, we wouldn't use our mouth for some other things like lying or profanities or so forth. We'd be on guard against that. But this one may be one that slips up on us if we're not careful.
Yeah, I was going to use a term I think kind of slips under the radar. I think we're so used to kind of complaining and griping. I don't know if it's a cultural thing or what, but I think we do it and we don't think about it. I know when you told me what the topic was tonight, I was like, I haven't thought about that in a while. You know, I haven't examined myself in that regard to think about whether I'm guilty of this. So I do think it's something that can go unnoticed.
All right. So hopefully tonight's program will maybe nothing else than a reminder that you need to maybe think about your attitude and the things that you say with regard to your circumstances. So we'll look forward to the discussion tonight. Earlier today, we sent out some questions. 5 of them for your consideration. How would you prove that murmuring is a sin? Is it even a sin? Have you disagree with this, that it's a sin? How would you prove or disprove that murmuring is a sin? 2, in what circumstances are we tempted to murmur? 3, does murmuring reveal any other sins that may be present in our lives? This may be one of those, sort of like the canary in the mine shaft there, Monty, maybe an indicator sin.
Yeah, I believe that's correct, because a lot of the things that we'll talk about tonight, if our attitude's right about them, then we wouldn't be murmuring. We'd be either accepting this circumstances they are because we can't do anything about them, or rather than griping and complaining and murmuring about things, we'd be doing what we can to fix the situation, which I believe is what we're taught to do.
All right, let's save some of that soap, though, until we get 3. 4, what effect, if any, does murmuring have on those around us? I think, Anthony, we'll find out that we may be encouraging others to sin if we're engaged in murmuring. And 5, which will be the capstone of the discussion tonight and perhaps the most important part of the discussion, how can we prevent murmuring? Because if it is, in fact, a sin, then we definitely want to prevent it in our lives. And so we'll look forward to hearing from you on those questions tonight or any comments you might have about murmuring. 877-381-4567. Email questions at collegeview.com. We'll look forward to hearing from you on the program tonight. I talked with some guys earlier this week they're listening to the Virtual Bible Study as they commute back and forth to work. One guy has an hour commute, another has an hour and 20-minute commute, and so they're able to get a program in, going and coming. So appreciate that, and hopefully we are not the cause of any traffic accidents.
At least their drive time's not wasted.
But that's up for discussion too, Monty. They might want something that keeps them from falling asleep, because we've heard from some folks that they use the Virtual Bible Study to fall asleep. So It may be a deadly combination. We'll have to find out.
Well, if that's how it works for them, they don't need to be listening while they're driving.
If you listen to us while you drive, let us know. We'd like to hear from you, or maybe you just let us know how you found us, when and where you listen to us, and we'd like to hear from you. Just drop us a line and let us know that you're out there. Questions@collegeu.com. All right, to the sin of murmuring. Is it a sin? Anthony?
Well, I think we can pretty clearly tell from the scriptures that it is. Even if we just look straight to the New Testament, which is, you know, our law, if you will, as Christians, there's at least a couple of plain statements in the New Testament that clearly condemn it.
All right.
Looking at, for example, Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So again, do all things without murmurings and disputing. So that's all things. So that's a pretty broad statement.
Right.
So, and again, I think this is one that, you know, that we just tend to kind of look over. We just kind of gloss over this from time to time. But yep, it's there.
All right. And in Jude, verse 15 beginning, we read a description of some terrible people. And notice one of their characteristics in Jude, verse 15 beginning, or at verse 14, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. But notice now, these are grumblers. Some versions translate that murmurers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. These people are grumblers and complainers, Monty, or murmurers and complainers, terrible folks that God is going to take, or Jesus is going to execute judgment against.
You know, obviously this problem of murmuring must be something really serious. A lot of people, I think, would tend to just gloss it over and, you know, well, I didn't kill anybody, or I haven't committed adultery, but it's a serious enough thing. In Jude, it says Jesus is going to come and execute judgments against those people that are guilty of doing this. So it's something we need to really be examining in our life to make sure we're not guilty of it.
All right, 877-381-4567, questions@collegeu.com. It may say it's a sin, but you don't know how bad I've got it, Anthony.
Right, yeah, I think that's kind of...
I mean, if you were in my shape, you probably would complain, and maybe God will overlook that.
Right, we like to sort of justify and make excuses for why... You know, why are we doing this? It's because it's just so hard, but there's no qualifications, there's no ifs.
It's a blanket condemnation, right. And would say that, you know, some of those other things in there, maybe, disputings, well, I can dispute with you, Anthony, if you make me really mad. No, there's no qualifiers there, no conditions, so we need to be avoiding.
Well, when you think about it and you say, well, but you don't realize how bad I've got it, well, in Philippians 2, in verse 14, it says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. So no matter how bad I've got it, whatever it is I'm going through, that's part of all things, yes, and I need to be doing it without murmurings and disputings.
All right. Let us know, 877-381-4567, questions@collegeu.com. Chris in the UK said, when I got this week's questions, I thought it was nothing much, but then I read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, neither murmur ye, some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. So it's something that can attract God's judgment, but is it sin? We can complain about unrighteousness and injustice, but murmuring isn't that is it. It is to grumble, express discontent. You could say it's the selfish whining that it's not going my way, and that would be sin in that it questions God's goodness or gracious actions towards us, that he's holding back something, and to others that they don't deserve that, like children looking at their dinner plate disapprovingly, ignoring the fact he is getting it for nothing. And then when the sibling's plate comes, he's got more pie than me, which could be coveting, he says. So he's saying that we can do it in lots of different stages of our life, but he says, yes, it would be a sin to complain against God and what he's given us. Ramona in Texas has chimed in. Thank you for emailing, Ramona. Ramona says, just by definition, murmuring is an indistinct, whispered, or confidential complaint, a mutter, to complain in low mumbling tones, or grumble. Christians can be murmurers and complainers. They can see nothing good. Everything is bad. Their life is miserable, and they want to make it that way for everyone else. Ever know anyone like that, Anthony?
Yeah, unfortunately, I have. We kind of think of what isn't it Eeyore and the Winnie the Pooh thing.
You knew him?
I didn't. I've known a few.
Oh, okay,
you know.
Okay.
So,
all right.
But you know, everything's blue and gloomy and glum, and like Ramona says, that rubs off on everybody else. It's kind of contagious. So.
All right. She says, like the parable of the laborers in the vineyard in Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16, they murmured because they had worked all day, while others who had worked for a much shorter period received the same wages. They'd received their just due, but they still murmured. That may be an indication that, Monty, we may think we deserve a little bit better, and that may be one of those other sins that we need to think about.
I hope I don't get what I deserve.
Yeah, that's right. But sometimes we think, well, I don't deserve all this. The scribes and Pharisees murmured against the disciples of Jesus because they ate and drank with publicans and sinners, but they were really striking out at Jesus in Luke 5, verses 29 through 32. They did not care that the publicans and sinners needed Jesus. They were only concerned with their personal agenda. The Jews murmured about Jesus because he said he was the bread of life, John 6, 41. Instead of investigating his claim in an effort to know the truth, they murmured. He says, gripe, gripe, gripe. Murmuring is a sin. She references Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Again, do all things without complaining and disputing. She references also 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. Now, that's one we didn't have on our list, but it says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, sometimes people are hospitable, but they complain about it. Well, I had so-and-so over for supper, and he ate the last of the beans, and he got more of the casserole than anybody else. And
that's why we don't have you over, Monty.
I know it. But, you know, they complain about it. They done what they felt like they should have done, but they complain about it constantly. So rather than being glad that they had somebody over to share a meal with them, they grumble about they sit down too hard in the chair. I mean, just you go through a whole list of things that they find to complain about rather than being appreciative of the fact that they were able to be hospitable, that God had blessed them with enough prosperity to be able to do it.
Yeah. All right. So that's an interesting one. So that's an area where we could grumble. Hadn't thought about that. And she says it causes one to perish. She references that 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10 passage. And so thank you, Ramona, for your submittal tonight. And Roger in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, says, sadly, murmuring is one of the most prevalent sins among some brethren. Those who would never think of committing adultery or murder are guilty of this sin. Some who have the highest morals, adhere most closely to doctrine, and are most liberal in their giving, negate all the good things they do by whining. Discontent causes murmuring. Christians are taught to be content with necessities that they have, and their lot and God's way. And so he says that, and he goes on to list some of those sins. We'll get to those in a minute. But Roger says that it is one of those, it's maybe one of those sleeper sins, one of those sins that sneaks up on us, and we could be guilty of it before we realize what's going on. So appreciate that from Roger tonight. All right, well, we're going to take a break. When we get back, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that several of our listeners have suggested tonight, says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That's a reference back to the Old Testament, to the children of Israel. And Anthony, they were notorious murmurers.
Yes.
And God had a hard time stomaching that.
Right.
And he destroyed some of them for it. And we want to look back to their example when we get back from the break of some things that they murmured about, things that their murmuring revealed and some effects of their murmuring. We're going to examine that on the other side of the break. But let us know your thoughts on the program tonight. In what circumstances are we tempted to murmur? Guest 464 before the break says, can you apply James chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, or 1 through 12, James 3, 1 through 12, to murmuring? He said, or he or she says, I see these scriptures as commands. So James chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, my brethren, not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able to bribe the whole body. And so that goes on and talks about the tongue there and how that we need to control our tongue. I think you definitely can apply James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12 there to that, Anthony. And then this is one of those challenges. So that we cannot tame the tongue. In James chapter 3, verse 8, no man can tame the tongue. Can't tame it. In other words, we're going to have to keep on guard against the sin of murmuring. We can control our tongue. James chapter 3 is not saying you can't control your tongue, so don't worry about it, but it's saying you're not going to be able to tame it. In other words, you're going to have to constantly come back and check what you're saying.
Right, and I mean, that's how murmuring takes place, is, you know, through what we say. I mean, we can display an attitude of discontent and complaining sort of through our actions and through our maybe body language, but the primary mode is through our mouth. So this would certainly fall in that category.
All right, we might ask our listeners in the chat room, do you have to speak it for it to be murmuring? And I think we learned a little bit about that when we get back from the break as well. So let's take a break, get your thoughts on the other side. Don't go anywhere. The virtual Bible study will continue right after this.
Did you hear what they just said? Call in during this break and let everyone know what you think. The virtual Bible study continues after this announcement.
Tonight on Channel 8 WSIN, it's TV like you've never seen it before. Starting at 8, it's TV's funniest new comedy, Fornication in the City, and Marie has been misbehaving again.
Guess what? I just cheated on my husband. He doesn't even know about it.
And then at 8:30, it's the show that's setting the standard. You won't want to miss this week's I Love This World, where Bob makes a great announcement.
Well, I think it's time you knew the truth. I'm gay.
And at 9 o'clock, it's the show that Television Magazine has called the number one drama for murder and violence. You won't want to miss this week's In Cold Blood to see who will be the next to be gunned down. It all starts tonight at 8 o'clock on Channel 8 WSIN.
I'm Greg Gwynn, reminding you that sin is a terrible thing, and that those who are entertained by watching others sin fall under the condemnation of God that is mentioned in Romans 1:28. Be careful what you watch on television, because in spite of what the devil wants you to think, sin is always sin, and it's never funny.
Here's some quotes worth pondering. People do odd things to get even. The first step in training a child in the way he should go is go that way yourself. Men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself, but because it contradicts them. Those who give the most are the least concerned about returns. Man, wish I'd said that.
A streaming Bible study. Why didn't I think of that? Now back to the guys.
We're back on the program tonight as we talk about murmuring and complaining. It is clearly a sin. It is a sin that that will condemn our souls to hell. It is a sin that will destroy us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. That's a reference to the Old Testament. Monty, we could really cite numerous places where the Israelites murmured against God.
Yeah, when we look through the Old Testament, when we look at in the book of Exodus, where the children of Israel had left Egypt, as God had taken them out of Egypt and rescued them from slavery, they over and over and over again was constantly complaining about everything they could possibly find to complain about. Yep. You would think if you and your ancestors for about 400 or 450 years or so had been slaves in a foreign land, and somebody come along and rescued you and took you out of that, you'd be happy to starve to death in a wilderness rather than be a slave.
Sure.
I mean, that's the way it seems to me.
Yeah.
But these people complained about everything. Didn't feed them enough. He fed them too much. He didn't give them enough water. They had to walk to, I mean, everything you can imagine to complain about, they were grumbling.
They were almost murmuring as soon as they stepped foot out of Egypt.
Pretty much.
Started. It is amazing. And I'm afraid, Anthony, it may show some of our human tendencies towards this sin.
Right. I mean, hindsight is 20/20, as we say. When we go back and look at this account of the Israelites, it's so easy for us to say, I can't believe, you know, that they did this. I mean, they were brought out of slavery. They've had all these miracles performed.
Sure.
They saw the Egyptian army, defeated and drown in the sea and all of these things. Yet they couldn't. They were so, it makes them seem very self-centered and selfish and honestly immature. It makes them seem what we might think of as immature. So it lets us know that nobody really is immune to this. You know, even these people who were God's favored people, they had all these things done for them. They were completely cared for. God promised them, if you do what I tell you to do, I'll take care of you. But they just couldn't get over this.
All right. Well, here's a few of the things that they complained about. They complained about their food. Remember, they remembered how well they had it in Egypt. God sent manna, and then they complained about that. They complained about not having enough to drink, and God provided for them. They complained about, remember the spies went into Egypt, into the Promised Land, came back and said how hard it was going to be, and they complained about that, and they murmured about that. And then, if you'll remember Numbers chapter 16, where they murmured against the authority of Moses and Aaron. So, you know, that's just a sampling of the murmuring that was going on with the children of Israel.
You know, we see, if we're objective about it, a lot of times in our life today, we complain about a lot of those same things.
Yeah.
Well, one of the first things, as I was looking at Exodus over in chapter 14, seemed like one of the first things they complain about is they've been taken out of Egypt, and they're up to the Red Sea. Here comes Pharaoh's armies. And they're in Exodus 14, verse 11, says, "Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness?
Yeah.
Why have you dealt with us so to bring us up out of Egypt?" So, I mean, they hadn't been out of slavery in no time, and they're already griping about it. And it, as it just goes on, but, you know, a lot of times as Christians, we might be that way. We maybe are new Christians, and first thing we want to do is start complaining about things. You know, we forget that we've been rescued from slavery to sin, and we're raised to walk a new life, and we've got the hope of salvation, and we want to start griping about things here at the church.
Unbelievable. Yep. Right. All right. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, beginning of verse 26, Monty or Anthony, you want to read that? There's a Moses is recounting the
126.
Yeah, Deuteronomy 1, 26 through 38. Moses is recounting some of the, well, some of the bad experiences he'd had with the children of Israel, their poor behavior and response to God. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, beginning verse 26, he's going to recount some of this out of this murmuring.
"Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. Then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son, and all the way that you went until you came to this place." How much further do you want me to go?
Go down to verse 30. Go ahead and read verse 33.
Okay.
Down to verse
"Yet for all that you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place for you, to pitch your tents, and to show you the way that you should go in the fire by night and in the cloud by day."
All right, so Moses is saying these children of Israel were very rebellious, and part of their rebellion was their murmuring. Some interesting observations about murmuring here. Verse 26, "Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God and complained in your tents." We talked about the fact that murmuring could be done as sort of a under-your-breath kind of thing. The children of Israel were murmuring privately here. It wasn't a big town hall kind of meeting where they started complaining against Moses. It was sort of a private thing.
Yeah, so you don't have to, in other words, what you're saying is you don't have to stir up a riot to be guilty of this. You can be guilty of it on a private individual
basis. You could just complain to your wife, right, or complain to your kids. Or,
you know, it might be that we go home from worship, and we go home and gripe about the lesson that the preacher brought today, or that the Sunday school teacher, well, he didn't present it well. He should have said this, or he should have done that. Or maybe the elders have informed us of a decision during the service, you know, and made an announcement about something, and we go home and we gripe about the elders. Now, we don't do it to their face, and we don't do it in public, but we'll go home, like you said, and complain to the wife. Well, it sets a really bad example because the kids hear us doing that.
Yeah.
Or if maybe the kids are already grown or gone and you don't have any, but you go home griping, and the wife hears you doing it. So you're leading her in that same way.
Right.
So it's really a bad thing. It's really terrible.
All right. And I would also propose that you don't have to vocalize these thoughts, Monty, for them to be just as sinful. And we can murmur in our own minds about the things that God's given us.
Yeah, the attitude's there. Whether we say the words out loud or not, we still have that murmuring attitude. So it's still a sin in our hearts, whether anybody else knows about it or not.
All right. Okay. And also we learn from this passage in verses 26 and 27 of Deuteronomy chapter 1 that it's a sin against God. You rebelled against the commandment of your Lord your God and complained in your hearts. All right, complained in your tents. It's against God, or Anthony. We need to understand that.
Right, and I think the reason seems like to me is because God has given us all that we need. And God, you know, as he promised the Israelites that he would take care of them, he's promised us the same thing in the New Testament. And so if we're complaining about that, you know, it's sort of a slap in the face to God. So it's definitely a sin against him. Whether or not we feel like we're having any detrimental impact on others around us, it's still a sin towards
God. It is a sin against God. And it is a rebellion against God. It is an indicator of this rebellious heart. They had rebelled against the Lord of God, and as a result, they were murmuring.
You know, and when you think about all that God had done for them, and the nations that they'd already conquered, and the example they had of how God had just really devastated Egypt, which at that up until that time was probably the most powerful nation in the world.
Yeah.
And God had just plundered them and wiped them out. You wouldn't think these few giants that was living in the promised land or these fortified cities, I mean, God's done destroyed a whole mighty nation. What's a few more cities to go? I mean, it's not a big trick for God.
No,
they should have known that.
They should have known. That's right. And, you know, we can also look at this murmuring and show that it does show that the children of Israel didn't understand what God's plan was for them. In verse 27, they complained and said, or murmured and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. They didn't understand what God's plan was. And when we murmur and complain, I think it's indication that we don't understand what God's plan for us is as well. In James chapter 1, the familiar passage of James telling us that we should count it all joy when we fall into various trials, verse 2 of James chapter 1, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If we understood how God expects this to work in our lives, he expects us to have to go through some difficult times, and rather than murmuring and complaining about it, James tells us to count it all joy.
Right, and I think it's in Hebrews, if I'm not mistaken, that, you know, it tells us that God chastens those that he loves, like a father, you know, has to punish his child, not out of hatred, but out of love, so that child can learn and can grow. So we're going to face hard times, and we shouldn't expect, you know, the Bible doesn't promise Christians, you know, roses, you know, a walk in the rose garden for our lives. There's going to be hard times. So
let's go on and look in Deuteronomy chapter 1 at verse 28, and see some other things about murmuring. Murmuring shows that we're going to be discouraging others. If you look at that, they had convinced as a result of their murmuring, they had said, where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts. The people are greater, by saying that people are greater and taller than we, and the cities are fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Amalek in there. So murmuring will be a discouragement to others. We'll talk about that here in a minute, but we see the children of Israel, as a result of their murmuring, had been a discouragement to others. A couple more things quickly from Deuteronomy chapter 1. When we murmur, we fail to realize and recognize the way that God has helped us in the past. Children of Israel, as you mentioned, Monty, they had seen all the wonderful things that God had done for them in Egypt, and they're complaining, showing us that they didn't realize that God had provided for them in the past. When we're faced with difficult circumstances and we murmur about them, indicates that we've forgotten how God's helped us in the past as well.
You know, if we look around and are honest about it, we have to realize that God has done so much for us. I mean, we live in the most prosperous time, probably, in the most prosperous nation that's ever lived. In the coldest that it got this winter, my house was still warm.
Yeah, yes, it was.
In the hottest it got in the summer, my house stays at a comfortable temperature.
Yeah.
The roof doesn't leak. I've got food, and obviously when you look at me, I haven't wasted away to nothing for lack of nourishment. God has taken care of me bountifully in so many ways I can't even comprehend all of them. I mean, when I think about that and I'm praying to God and thanking him for the blessings he's given me, I recognize that he's blessed me bountifully and beyond my ability to comprehend them all. There's no way that I can know everything that God's done for me. My mind's not capable of grasping all that, but I know he's done it, and I need to be thankful for him rather than complaining that because I don't have a brand new car, mine's several years old or something like that.
Yeah, right.
And I think we can't do both at the same time. If we're being thankful, we don't have time and we don't have we don't have time to be complaining if we're being thankful. And if we're complaining, we don't have time to be thankful. So It's kind of like you can't do both. They're mutually exclusive.
One track mind kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, how can you say you're thankful for everything God has done for you, but and then in the other breath complain about something? Then the two don't mix.
All right. And finally, we see that this murmuring of the children of Israelites in verse 32 showed that they did not believe in the Lord their God. They didn't. Their faith was lacking, and that was an indicator in their murmuring. So lots of things we can learn from the Israelites. Paul references them in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Reference them to show us that murmuring was terrible for them, and it's just as bad for us today. Lots of lessons we can learn by looking at the Israelites and their murmuring. So let's take a break. When we get back, we want to get to our listeners' responses to what circumstances tempt us to murmur. We'll talk about that, and then we want to get to this idea of what other sins may murmuring indicate in our lives and may it reveal in our hearts. We'll look at that when we get back from the break. We'll get this week's bullet point and go on the other side. Don't go anywhere. The Virtual Bible Study continues right after this.
You won't want to miss what we talk about next. The discussion continues right after these important messages.
This is Greg Gwynn with this week's bullet point. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Based upon this passage, we could conclude that the Lord has supplied us with all the necessary things, and he expects us to stand. The New American Standard Version renders this, "to stand firm." It seems that there are far too many Christians who are unwilling to take a stand. Some will not stand against false doctrine or those who teach it. They have a low tolerance for naming names of those who hold false views. They don't want anyone to specify the errors that are being taught and practiced. They even go to great lengths to find some way to justify their continued fellowship with such false teachers. Their view that they can continue to fellowship those in error is at odds with numerous Bible passages that instruct us to rebuke false teachers and have no company with them. Consider passages like Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9, and 2 John, verse 9. These folks need to take a stand. Others will not take a stand on important moral issues. Too many Christians want to be like the worldly people around them. They want to dress, talk, and act like the world. They want their children to be able to do all the worldly things that others do, including the wearing of immodest clothes, mixed swimming, dancing, attending filthy movies, and so forth. They simply do not want to be different from the world. In this, they refuse to take a stand. The spiritual battle with the forces of Satan is real and intense. There is no time to be weak or indecisive. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong." That's this week's bullet point. Think about it.
I'm Arthur Haynes from Culloch, Tennessee, and one of my greatest highlights of the week is to listen to the Virtual Bible Study.
Use your internet connection for something good. Listen to the Virtual Bible Study every week. Now, back to the program.
And we're back on the program tonight. I want to remind you this program is brought to you by the College of Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. If you've not checked out our website, do it now, thevirtualbiblestudy.com. You can find archives of almost 9 years of the Virtual Bible Study there, and you can find out more about what we believe in practice. Visit our website, thevirtualbiblestudy.com. If you're in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we welcome you to come and worship with us at your earliest convenience. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30, Sunday evenings at 6, and Wednesday evenings at 7. Find out more about our meeting place and location at thevirtualbiblestudy.com. We're talking about murmuring on the program tonight, and lots of lessons to be learned, lots of things to be on guard against, because, guest 464 referenced in the chat room, James chapter 3 tells us that our tongue can get us into trouble. This is one area where it can. Our attitude can get us into trouble. This is one area of our attitude that we need to be working on. And it is a sin that will condemn us and one that may not be on our radar screen, as you mentioned, Anthony. So we've got to make sure that we're on guard against murmuring. We've talked about the fact that the Israelites were notorious for it, looked at some of the lessons from them. And we asked our listeners earlier today, in what circumstances are we tempted to murmur? Because that's important, Monty, as we want to avoid this sin. You sort of need to know when are you tempted to commit the sin so you can be on guard at those times especially.
Well, it's fine to say don't do it, but if we don't know what it means or how we're getting into this situation, then we're going to have a lot of trouble not doing it.
Okay. All right. That's right. Here's what Chris in the UK says. It's interesting. People are the same around the world, and some of the same things he may murmur about in the UK. While they might describe it a little differently than we would, maybe use some different words, but it's the same things we might murmur about here. He says the role God has given us is one thing we may murmur about. the content of the sermon, the joke the usher made during the notices. Well, we don't have notices, but we have announcements, and I think I understand what he's saying. The standard of singing, and it can get really petty, like our parking space, the color of the carpet, the warmth of the greeting. He says, guess what? The worship is the worship meeting is not about you, so get over yourself. Outside the church, the job we have, our spouse, the government, the local school, the park, the supermarket, and Britain's favorite, the weather. I guess it's not too sporty over there, huh?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, it's not too sporty here sometimes, and it is something we can murmur about. Our sports team or the rotten officiating. So thank you for that, Chris. Appreciate your submittal. And Ramona mentions, she says, when things are going not going the way that we want them, we whine because of discontent. We are taught to be content with necessities, 1 Timothy chapter 6, 7, and 8, with what we have, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5, our lot, of Philippians 4, verse 11, and God's way, Luke 5, verse 5. So Ramona says, well, you sort of get it in your mind how you think things ought to go, and if they're not going that way, then you gripe and complain about them. So thank you for that, Ramona. And, Roger in Murfreesboro, he says the same thing. When things are not going our way, we tend to murmur. And so appreciate that. All right, so got to be on guard. There'll be certain circumstances, Anthony, that may really be annoying to us or troublesome to us or challenging to us. And those are the times when we need to be careful that we don't murmur.
Right. I mean, I think we all can recognize time when we're having hard times, when we're struggling. We need to try to work on being aware of our, you know, of our situation and of our mental state, if you will, to say, you know, I'm struggling, I'm unhappy at this point. I need to try to focus on something positive. I need to do something to help somebody else, to take the focus off of my problems. I mean, we're all going to have problems and hard times. It's just how we deal with them that makes a difference. So you know, we just need to be prepared. And, you know, when things are going well, you know, we need to be kind of constantly prepping ourselves for that day, that rainy day when they're not going well. And so, you know, I think as Monty made mention of being thankful, the more, I feel like the more we're thankful, the better prepared we are against murmuring. Because if we're very well practiced and schooled in being thankful, we're pushing out those negative things out of our mind. So we're going to be less apt to murmur when the bad things do come around.
You make a good segue into our next topic is, go ahead, Mike.
Well, I just had a thought.
Oh, we're going to unsegue now. Go ahead.
As Anthony said that, when we think about in the book of Job and all that he was going to, and his wife told him, said, you ought to just curse God and die.
Yeah.
Rather than agreeing and complaining about the way things was going, Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So in whatever circumstance we're in, we need to understand that God, and somehow or another, we're being blessed there, even if it's nothing but we're having the opportunity to persevere through a test.
Yeah.
So we need to be thanking God rather than cursing God because things aren't going so good for us.
All right. So you still sort of segued into that, Monty. Some things in our heart that some conditions of our heart that may be revealed by murmuring, and one of those being the fact that we're not thankful. As you mentioned, Monty, we should be thankful in all things. And as you mentioned, Monty, you can't murmur and be thankful at the same time. But the scriptures are very clear in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ, and of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Ephesians 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this may be difficult to do, but if we'll have the correct perspective, we can give thanks for the things we're going through. And so if we're not doing that, then we'll be murmuring. And so that's an indicator that you're not following this command as well if you're murmuring.
Right, and that gets back to the James chapter 1, 2 as well, you know, where we're told to count it all joy when we fall into temptation. So, you know, trying to see the positive side of a bad situation and realizing that, you know, there may be some good that comes out of it. We may not see it right now, but God tells us that, you know, all things will work together for good for those that love the Lord. So if we have that right attitude, even in times of trial, we can find something to be thankful for.
All right. Well, guest 464, he's going to hit close to home. He says, what about murmurings in traffic? He says this covers 75% of people, and well, and including guest 464, and I caught myself today as well with that attitude, and we've got to be careful about that.
You know, Tuesday night we had to go to the east side of Nashville on I-40, and from about Franklin all the way through and out the other side of Nashville, traffic was slow. There was a wreck and all that thing, kind of sort of thing, and we could have grumbled about it, but I was thinking at least it's still moving.
Well,
because there's been times before when you get stuck in something like that and you sit for hours on end. Well, back during the coldest part of the winter, it seems like there was a bad snowstorm somewhere and traffic was blocked off, and people, there was so many wrecks they couldn't go. And I remember hearing about it that some restaurant, I think a Chick-fil-A restaurant, just had their employees going and carrying meals to people that were stuck in these traffic jams for like 8 or 10 hours at a time.
Yeah.
So the fact that we couldn't drive the speed limit was really inconsequential. We were still moving, and we can find, you know, even though it's slow, we can be thankful that it's still moving.
All right, guest 464, thank you for that comment. So shows we're not thankful, shows we're not content. You can't be content and murmur at the same time either.
Right, and I think, you know, if at first blush you might think, well, those are kind of the same thing, being thankful and being content, and they're pretty closely related, but really being content is sort of like the opposite of being covetous or greedy or really the opposite of having a complaining type of attitude. Because again, if you're content, you're not going to have much to be complaining about. But it's an overall attitude. It's like thankfulness. We need to have a thankful attitude, but we also need to be like Paul and say, you know, whatever state I'm in, I'm going to be content with that. And it's an attitude that, especially in our modern society in this country, we're constantly bombarded with advertisements and you need a new this, and they're constantly releasing, you know, I think I'm kind of getting on a soapbox here, but all these companies, you know, like Apple, for example, every year they put out a new iPhone. It's just so that
you won't be content with
right,
you
exactly.
Have. Right. Well, it is. It is. And the marketing scheme is you need this.
Right.
You shouldn't be happy with what you've got, any product.
Your life's going to end if you don't have this latest and greatest.
Right, because it's not a very successful marketing campaign, Monty, if you convince everybody that they should just be happy with what
you've got.
Not very capitalism friendly.
No, it isn't. So we need to be aware of that. And as you mentioned, be content. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8 says, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. So.
Right,
and the standards are the requirements of our life need to be fairly low. Food and raiment's not all that extreme.
Yeah, I always find it interesting that, you know, shelter's not mentioned there. We always talk about food, clothing, and shelter, and that verse doesn't even mention shelter. But I think sometimes I think I've heard Greg say this too. But sometimes it'd almost be nicer just to get away from all this stuff because there's so much stuff that we don't need. And it's really a weight on us, I think, as Christians. It's a very big challenge.
Yes, it is. Well, finally, the things that we have prepared, and we'll look at what our listeners have said. This shows a lack of faith and trust in God, Monty, because he said in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Well, if we trusted God that he's going to take care of us, he will be our helper, then we ought to check some of that murmuring at the door.
You know, kind of along that line, I knew a guy one time that he was in a bank, and some people came in with their guns and was robbing the bank. And they told him, do this or that, whatever it was, or we'll shoot you. He said, look, fella, all you're threatening me with is heaven. Because he had that trust in God. He felt like he was a Christian, and that he knew he had that hope of heaven. And so if they kill him, the worst they could possibly do is kill him. And if they kill us and we're faithful Christians, we've got a home waiting for us in heaven. So that really tempers a whole lot of things. As it said, don't fear what man's going to do to you, because all the worst they could possibly do is kill you. Right. And then we go to be with Jesus. So, I mean, how bad could that be?
That's right. All right, quickly, we'll look at our listeners' responses. Chris in the UK says, it may lead to things like discouragement, then think that God doesn't love me. a distraction, then I don't need to go anywhere or serve my brother and sister today. It may mean fear, then not leading to wisdom, but anger at him and his judgment, self-pity, self-hatred, overwhelming feeling that who you are doesn't matter, and so do others, so I won't witness of him or attend his church because I can't or don't add anything. Thank you, Chris, for those. Ramona says it reveals selfishness, and selfish people want their way and do not like it one bit. If they don't get it, therefore they murmur. She also references Ephesians 4:31-32, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. With all malice, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ, God in Christ forgave you. And Roger says that he references it causes discontent is evident, selfishness is evident, and so we need to be aware of those. Thank you for those responses. When we get back from the break, we go to the top of the hour. We're going to have to go fast. What effect, if any, does murmuring have on those that are around us, and how can we prevent murmuring? Let us know your thoughts. So we'll look forward to hearing from you. Don't go anywhere. The Virtual Bible Study continues right after this.
You won't want to miss what we talk about next. The discussion continues right after these important messages.
Hi, I'm Jack Coleman, a member of the College View Church of Christ, with a suggestion for you and your family. Why not turn off the TV on Thursday nights and gather the family around the computer for an hour of in-depth Bible study? The Virtual Bible Study always involves subjects of importance and interest to serious Bible students. So, why not join this Internet Bible Study group every Thursday night?
We're tracking the trends on the Virtual Bible Study. A newly released study by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development found that 25.8% of American children live in single-parent homes. That number is particularly troubling when considering that of the 26 other countries surveyed, the average was only 14.9%. Among African Americans, the rate was much worse. 72% of black children grow up in single-parent homes. No-fault divorce and social welfare policies are among the reasons stated for the high rates of single-parent homes in the U.S. That information is via World Magazine. The Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord."
Broadcasting around the world with truth that are out of this world. The Virtual Bible Study. Take it away, guys.
And we're back on the program tonight talking about murmuring and complaining and some of the effects that murmuring and complaining might have on those around us. We talked about the children of Israel. Their murmuring and complaining was contagious. They all rebelled against God and didn't follow him as they should because of the murmuring that was present there. Monty, that can be contagious as well on others.
Yeah, when we think about the children of Israel and the effects that it had on others and some unintended consequences, you might say, because they murmured and complained and wouldn't go into the promised land, as we was reading about earlier, the adults didn't get to go in at all. They all had to suffer and died in the wilderness, all except for Joshua and Caleb. And it caused these people's murmuring caused their children to have to roam around in the wilderness for 40 years when their children could have been receiving the benefits of that. So we need to be really careful so that we understand that the things we do have consequences that are dealt out on others too. It's not just about me.
Yeah, Jeff, you mentioned in the chat room something during the break. I haven't heard from you tonight, but go ahead.
It's also mentioned when we think about Genesis 16, which is talking about Abram and Sarah, and they're not able to have children, and it comes up about Hagar, and doing children by that means instead of relying on God. And we can even see it earlier in the case of Adam and Eve, where Adam was complaining about the woman and then eventually the woman complaining about the serpent.
Okay.
I mean, we see that as a ongoing thing that's always happened.
All right. You mentioned that it had an effect on others. We talked about the fact it had an effect on others. Let's look at what our listeners have to say. Chris in the UK says they will see that God, the God you follow, can't be anyone worth knowing because you're running him down to them. When you're murmuring, which you are in effect running down God, he says, why would I stop at a store that I run down its products and its staff and so on? If you do that about your church, why would anyone go in? Also, it may cause the results that happened in you happen to them. They will pity themselves or become discouraged in your presence, then following on to the other results. So he says it's contagious and it could cause others to not be interested in following God. And Ramona says it can cause division among God's people. Two different views. How many churches have split because of murmuring? Well, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9, she says, God hates one who sows discord among brethren. Ever known of murmuring to cause problems in the church?
Quite often.
How so?
Well, because people are not satisfied with whatever, and they start murmuring about it, and they go and talk to their neighbor, you know, the person that sits in the next pew over, and they get that started, and it just spreads and spreads, and the next thing you know, you've got this half of the church hating the other half of the church because they've got differences of opinion about how something should have been handled or whatever.
Yeah, I think
and
elders,
so it's really bad.
Elders are a prime target of mm-hmm. murmuring. The decision that they made on who in the world would make a decision like that.
Yeah, I mean, we see the word strife a lot, too, in the New Testament, that we're warned against that, but you can't really have strife, you know, without somebody in there murmuring or complaining. If everybody, you know, if everything was good and everybody was having a proper attitude, you wouldn't really have strife. So, certainly the root of a lot of issues.
And that goes back and reminds me of number 16. We talked about the murmuring against Moses and Aaron's authority. That's sort of one of those things where that murmuring sort of spread and challenged their authority.
You know, and God has put the elders in a similar type position of what Moses and Aaron were in. The elders are to lead the church in the way we should go. And so when we're unhappy with their decisions and we start complaining about it to each other, we're not being any different than those people that rebelled against Moses and Aaron. And something we need to realize is God put the elders in that position they're in and set up that position for a purpose. And we don't have to agree necessarily with what the elders, their decisions they make, but as long as the decisions they make aren't sinful, we do have to submit.
Absolutely.
And part of that submitting is going along with it and finding ways to support their decision rather than looking for ways to complain about it.
All right. Well, you're going to get up on a soapbox there, Monty, and I'm going to want to get there with you, but we better leave that for another discussion. But submission is a big challenge for us, and we've got to make sure that we're practicing that in the church as we should, or else big problems can ensue. But we'll leave it there and say enough for now. But Roger in Murfreesboro says effects that it may have on those around us. He says, as with other things we do, it tends to spread. We tend to find folks that will listen to our murmuring or gossip. In turn, that individual may feed on the murmuring and begin doing the same, kind of like leaven, it spreads. And thank you, Roger, for mentioning it like that. We appreciate that. And certainly we've got to be aware of that. Guest 4-64 says, I have a neighbor who murmurs about his life all the time. What can I say to encourage him? He's not religious in any way. How would you answer guest 4-64 about the neighbor who murmurs?
That's tough. I mean, I think, you know, as a Christian, we have a different one of the things that I was going to bring up is, as a Christian, we should be having a different perspective. Our focus should not be on this physical existence in our lives on this planet. It shouldn't be so focused on our problems and everything. You know, Galatians chapter 3 and many other places, and Jesus taught about it in the Sermon on the Mount, saying our focus, you know, our treasure and our focus should not be on this life. So it's hard, you know, as a Christian, we have that automatic focus that where it should be. As someone who's in the world, that's all they're focused on is their earthly existence and all the problems. So I don't know. That's a tough question.
I don't know. I'd have to ask guest 464, are you sure that the neighbor's not murmuring because you're his neighbor?
When you think about it, though, he kind of needs to take a preemptive first strike on that. So when he comes into the neighbor's presence, find something he can say good about something and lead the discussion in that way. Isn't the weather pretty? Your yard looks really nice. Well, or, you know, find something that he can say good about things to get him lead him in a positive direction and help him to avoid that murmur.
Might be the kind of neighbor where you couldn't compliment his yard, though. But
you can find something
that's right
to be positive about.
Well, and I would say that if murmuring is contagious, not murmuring would be contagious as well. Be positive, as you said, Monty, and that will show. And perhaps it is a good opportunity to lead him to the Lord if he sees that you're not in that same frame of mind where you're complaining and murmuring all the time, and maybe he would wonder what's going on in your life that he doesn't have in his.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a good opportunity to just, you know, broach the spiritual things. You know, I was just thinking, when my first roommate in college, one day came in and he was just really downcast. He said, you know, nothing's going my way. I need to go to church or something like that. You know, I need some God or
some religion.
Right. Yeah. And so now, you know, we kind of might look at that as, oh, you know, he's just, you know, he doesn't have the right attitude. But I mean, I think I said something to him like, you know, well, why don't you come with me or something? You know, I mean, that's an opening.
Right.
That might be there. So,
right. Okay.
All right. You know, hopefully eventually if we could have that positive attitude for this person enough, they might get around to asking, how is it you always positive about things? My life's falling apart and you always act like things are going your way. Then we can start, well, the reason I have for that is this hope of heaven with Jesus and the sacrifice he made for him. We can lead that into a good discussion about spiritual matters.
Okay.
Where if we agree with him when we murmur with him, there's nothing anything different about us than there is him, so he's got nothing to lead him to a better way.
The last question we asked tonight was, what can we do to prevent murmuring? And this might answer some of, I guess, 464's questions as well, but maybe encouraging his neighbor along the same lines. Learn to be content. You can't murmur when you're content. We talked about that already. Paul, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, says that he had learned in whatsoever state he was therewith to be content. He wasn't murmuring. He was content. We've got to do that. We've got to learn in whatever state we're in to be content. And we've got to keep our priorities in the right places. You mentioned, Monty, if we're focusing on the physical, things don't go right in the physical. If the dishwasher breaks and the dog gets run over, then we could be
tempted. Didn't like that dog anyway.
Well, you wouldn't murmur, but some might.
I wouldn't.
But if you're focusing on the physical and not on the spiritual, then you'll be tempted to murmur more. Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21 tell us to put our treasures in heaven. And then we need to trust in God. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 we referenced already. If we'll trust in God, it'll be hard for us to murmur because we know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. And we need to count our blessings. If we'll have a real understanding, Anthony, of how many blessings we do enjoy, it's going to be very hard for us to get in the frame of mind to want to murmur when God's blessed us so much.
Right. And I think I know one of our elders in particular makes it a habit to mention, to talk about and encourage us to be thankful specifically for specific things. And I think that's a good advice. If we're just very general in our thankfulness, or we just kind of give lip service to the idea of being thankful. We've talked about early on in tonight's study about how we need to be thankful. The Bible commands us to be thankful, but if we don't really delve into that and get specific about it, you know, it's of limited value. I'm not saying it's bad, but the more specific we get about just stopping and thinking about all the things that we do have. I mean, even things that might seem silly, like, running water, electricity. I mean, these are things that make our lives very comfortable and convenient that people in some places even today don't have. So we've got a lot to be thankful for.
All right. Chris in the UK says, along these lines, basically the same things, take what God has given you and be glad. As the song goes, count your many blessings, count them one by one, and it will amaze you what the Lord has done. One exercise you could do is after a prayer of confession, do a prayer where you don't ask for anything, just focusing on who he is and what he has done for you and how he's blessed you. If in him you live and move and have your being, and from him you get every breath you have. For you, the Son of God, who loved me, gave himself for me. In him we have hope that is steadfast and sure, held up in heaven for us, where rust can't destroy or thieves steal. That's just for starters. Thank you, Chris, for that encouragement. Ramona says, rather let us be content in life. She references Philippians 4, verse 4 and 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Let us be happy and rejoice always in the Lord. Let us be thankful for our blessings and be characterized by a spirit of gratitude. Let us never be selfish. Let us always regard others better than self and look out for the interest of others. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Let us follow the things that make for peace and let all things be done unto edifying. Romans 14, 19, 1 Corinthians 14, 26. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. That verse has come up several times tonight. Thank you, Ramona, for your thoughts. And, Roger's going to reference that verse as well, as he says, by growing in our knowledge of God's Word and allowing Jesus to dwell in our hearts, we can prevent murmuring. He references Ephesians 4, 29 through 31, and Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Do all things without complaining and disputing. that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights, if we won't murmur and complain. Monty, we're going to be that light that may help convert that neighbor who is murmuring, complaining all the time. And he goes on, verse 15, holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Thank you, Roger, for your submittals tonight. Thank you, all of our listeners. A good discussion about, well, I couldn't say it was a bad discussion. I wouldn't want to complain about it. But right. it was honestly a good discussion.
Yeah, I think, as I said, this is something that I think we tend to overlook. You know, we focus on maybe some of the more obvious or the more, you know, bad things that we tend to associate with. But this is something that we can easily, and we do, I'm sure, all too often, easily fall into this sin. So it's a good reminder.
All right. Thank you for your time tonight, Anthony.
Sure, no problem.
Monty, thank you for coming tonight.
Thank you, Jeff.
Your thoughts. Jeff, thank you for coming to be a part of the program. Jeff's on spring break. Jeff, how long till school's out?
Like 6 weeks.
Six more weeks, and he's free. All right. And then we'll look for you being back here this summer, Jeff, and being more regular, but glad that you're here tonight. And we're glad that you joined us on the program. Hope you benefited from our study and discussion of God's Word. We hope you make plans to be back here this time next week for another edition of the Virtual Bible Study. And in the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired Word in the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.